What's up, everybody? You're listening to the J-Red Show on Anchor and Spotify and everywhere else get your podcasts. And welcome to Championship Edition as we talk about four different championships in lacrosse, hockey, basketball, and soccer. Starting locally with lacrosse, the Buffalo Bandits are your 2023 NLL champions. They defeat the Colorado Mammoth 2-1, winning game 3, 13-4. It got a little scary for the Bandits, as it felt very deja vu of last year. They barely escaped game 1, 13-12. And then they go to Ball Arena in Denver, and just like last year, they, after coming up to a hot start, they just looked like dead in the water. They looked snake bitten. They couldn't get any good shots, and they lost 16-10. I'm like, yeah, this feels very deja vu of last year. But then in game 3, they reversed the script in just a dominating defensive performance, only allowing 4 goals. And that fourth one should not have counted because the foot was in the crease. So, 3 legal goals. Matt Vink making 47 saves on 51 shots. There were a lot of candidates for Buffalo to get the MVP award. It could have gone to Vink. It could have gone to Josh Byrne, who had 4 goals and was huge in, and played a huge part in that Game 3 victory. But at the end of the day, they gave it to Dane Smith with 7 assists in Game 3. Some other thoughts on this game. The Buffalo defense and Vink delivered when it mattered most. Being up only 4-2 at halftime, despite an outshoot in Colorado, felt very insecure to me. I was envisioning Colorado running in third and more heartbreak, but Ward played well to keep Colorado in it. The burn girl at the end of the first was the good stroke of luck to get tipped in by the defender out of the way. Sometimes a little luck goes a long way to give a team the lead of momentum. In game 2, Buffalo was up 3-1 and nearly made it 4-1 when they hit a post. Colorado hit a couple posts when the game was close and could have been trouble. Colorado had 16 or more fewer shots at the bats till the end of the game with much more passion in the first until midway through the third. It was concerned how small the Bandits' lead was. But at the end of the day, the Bandits got got the championship. And it's a good thing they got this championship because their window could be closing real soon. They don't have many more opportunities to win with this core of Dane Smith, Matt Vink, Tehoka Nanakoke. I mean, it's a damn shame that COVID took away 2 years of this core. 2 years of this championship window. But fortunately, the Buffalo Bandits did get the championship. Their first championship in 15 years. I was in downtown Buffalo for the celebration. It was very crazy. It was a lot of fun. And then I attended the Bison's game afterwards. I mean, I'm just it was just great, that a great atmosphere, and I can just imagine how much bigger it's gonna be when and if the Bills win the Super Bowl and when and if the Sabres win the Stanley Cup. So congratulations to the Buffalo Bandits, their first championship in 15 years. In the NHL and the NBA, the story came from South Florida, Miami metropolitan area, as both the Miami Heat and the Florida Panthers had very similar stories. Both were the number 8 seed, both got real hot, and got their respective teams to their respective finals. But they ran out of gas, and they both lost in 5 games. The Florida Panthers lost to the Vegas Golden Knights, and the Miami Heat lost to the Denver Nuggets. Starting with the Stanley Cup Finals, the Vegas Golden Knights absolutely dominated game five, winning 9-3. Jack Eichel had 20 assists and 26 points, leading the team. Did not expect that from him after that slow 2 regular season starts. But he did get it together, and he won the Stanley Cup. And as a Sabres fan, am I bitter about this? Most Sabres fans are saying no, because he went to the most cup-ready team. And the Sabres turned out okay. If the Sabres were still terrible and still near the bottom of the NHL, this would hurt a lot more, and the Sabres fans would be a lot more frustrated with the organization. But as I said, Eichel went to the most cup-ready team, and he didn't even win the Conn Smythe. They went to Jonathan Marchessault. And as I said, the fact that the Sabres have drastically improved without him also makes it hurt less. I mean, I'll say as of now, it doesn't hurt to see Eichel lift the cup. I mean, I'm still bitter about the way he left Buffalo, but as of now, it doesn't hurt. But I think it will eventually hurt more if the Sabres don't win the Stanley Cup with this core of Thompson, Tuck, Skinner, Cousins, Dahlin, Power, and Levi. As of now, Sabres fans just want a decent hockey team. As of now, the goal is to make the playoffs. But sooner or later, it'll be like the Bills, where it's championship or bust. And if they don't win at least one Stanley Cup with this core, I think this Eichel trade will hurt more. But I said, back to the Stanley Cup Finals, Jonathan Marchessault is the MVP. 13 goals, 12 assists for 25 points. Much credit to the Florida Panthers to get this far, but there's too many injuries. And as I stated earlier in the show, they ran out of figurative gas, and it was a good story for them and the Heat. But I guess the bell struck midnight on both their Cinderella seasons. But Vegas was just too much for them. I mean, Vegas was just too deep for them. Their fourth line, Vegas' fourth line was just so good. They dumped the puck in, took their man and they were very well positioned. The Golden Knights played very physical and didn't commit a lot of penalties. They were just so locked in. They didn't make many mistakes. Vegas successfully did what Toronto and Boston and a lot of teams failed to do. They went all in. The analogy is what the Los Angeles Rams did last year and then what the Buffalo Bills are trying to do. But last year, the Vegas Golden Knights failed to make the playoffs. During last season, they acquired Byron Frosty, Michael Hutchinson, and Sheldon Rampell. Hutchinson was a huge part of this championship run. They only had 6 players from their first Stanley Cup run in 2018. So that really goes to show how well of an organization the Vegas Golden Knights are. So congratulations to the Vegas Golden Knights on winning the Stanley Cup. On to the NBA Finals. Denver wins in 5 games. They had a really close game 5, winning 94-89. But unlike in the NLL Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals, there was a debate on who was going to be the MVP. In the NBA Finals, there was no debate. It was Nikola Jokic. He averaged 30 points a game and just a dominating effort from start to finish. In basketball, for the last 20 years, fans have argued who is the greatest of all time between Michael Jordan and LeBron James. Well, for the next 20 years, we're going to be arguing Michael Jordan versus LeBron James versus Nikola Jokic and amongst other players like Victor Wembanyama. I could totally botch that name, but Jokic's going to have some competition on... We're going to enter a very interesting era of basketball. As LeBron retires, who is going to be the next face of the sport? And Jokic is just on a whole nother level. And what's crazy is a lot of these players, Jokic, Wembanyama, they're from different countries. Jokic is from Serbia. Vukovic is from France. Denver won this game defensively. All year long, pundits, critics, and Jokic got his way for Denver being exposed on defense. That never turned out to be the case. They held at 89 points on Monday. The slower pace helped with that, but so did the Nuggets' defensive effort. Denver finished the postseason with a 110.2 defensive rating, a mark that would be good enough for the second of the regular season. The biggest play of the game was a defensive stop. With the Heat trailing by one in the final minute and threatening to finish a furious comeback, Jimmy Butler attacked Jamal Murray on the switch. But Murray stayed with Butler step for step as he forayed into a paint. Then Jokic came to help with the rim. With Butler having nowhere to go, he made the pass and then turned the ball over. Then the Nuggets iced the game with the free throws the rest of the way. So congratulations on the Denver Nuggets on winning the NBA championship. And then finally, we go to European soccer, where Manchester City has won the Continental Treble and the Champions League. Their cross-city rivals Manchester United did it in 1999, and now this year's Manchester City joins the club. They win the Premier League with 89 points. Arsenal finished second with 84. They're behind Arsenal most of the season, and I wouldn't say Arsenal choked, but Arsenal had a pretty comfortable lead. I just think, but Manchester City just had more talent. I figure they're overall the better team. I figure they'd take it. And then ironically, they beat beat Manchester United 2-1 in the FA Cup final. And then finally in the Champions League Cup final, they defeat Italy's Inter Milan 1-0. Rodri got the lone goal for Manchester City at 68 minutes. Erling Haaland had a record-breaking season, 36 goals. That is a Premier League record. And really, you could have just seen this coming. I mean, they just overall had the best team in the world, and they had a great offense, a great defense. I mean, they're just a great all-around team. And I mentioned how the Nuggets and the Golden Knights and the Bandits went all in, like the Los Angeles Rams. That's what Manchester City did. And now they, after years of dominating English football, they finally dominate the world. So congratulations to Manchester City. That's your championship edition. I'll give a few more sports thoughts. The Rochester Americans got to the conference finals, but they lost the Hershey Bears in 6 games. I mean, there is no shame in what they did this year. They made it further than I expected them to make it. Michael Mersch and Mason Jobs were tied with 13 points each. Kulik had 7 goals. I mean, just a fun, magical run. They overcame a 2-0 deficit against Syracuse to win that series. Then they won the North Division title by defeating Toronto. But Hershey was just too much for them. They lost that last game 1-0. They were in a defensive shell. When Hershey killed off a 5-on-3 power play, I kind of knew it was done. As for Seth Appert, I think he coached great for the first 2 series. Didn't really like the way he coached the conference finals, but I think Hershey's just too powerful. Hershey was just too much for them. The Hershey Bears are now in the Calder Cup Finals against the Coachella Valley Firebirds, the AHL affiliate of the Seattle Kraken. Coachella Valley had a 2-0 lead, but Hershey came back and made it 3-2, and they are now one win away from the Calder Cup Finals, for the Calder Cup Championship. Finally, the Buffalo Bills. Stephon Diggs missed out on the first day of mandatory minicamp, but he did come back. And there's just a lot of concern with the Buffalo. There's a little bit of concern with the Buffalo Bills right now. And I want to make it clear, I love Sean McDermott. Obviously, he's a great coach. After he got the Bills to the playoffs 5 times in 6 years, after the Bills missed 17 straight before him. But I didn't like the way he worded things with this Diggs debacle, and there is a bit of concern. You could argue that the play calling is what cost the Bills the Super Bowl in the first 3 years of Josh Allen's of this window with Josh Allen. If the Bills are going to win Lombardi, they got to get it right with the coaching staff. If the Bills don't win the Super Bowl this year, you got to question if McDermott can get it done. I'm not saying he should be fired. I love what he did. I'm hopeful that with the tools he has, with Frazier gone, he will get it done. But it just with what happened with Stephon Diggs, just a lot of question marks with Buffalo Bills. Well, any thoughts on sports, hit me on Twitter at JRedShow, and I'll see you later.